We'll continue in our study in Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. I don't even know if I can find Ephesians in my Bible this morning. So, there it is. Ephesians chapter 1, we've studied through almost the entire chapter. We're down around verse 1. To get into the context of it, let's begin with reading with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. And let's read verse 9. Having made known unto us, how many of you are glad he's made known unto you the mystery of his will? And that's according to his good pleasure. Amen? You see that? We've already talked about that some, so I'm not going to spend time on it, but it's according to God's good pleasure that he is working his will in your life and doing his best with our cooperation. Amen? And his will is the will that he purposed in himself before he ever created the world. And as we said, that purpose is that those who were going to be saved and have eternal life and have a relationship with God as their Heavenly Father, that purpose would be fulfilled through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, which we've talked about, we're in the fullness of times right now. If you haven't thought about that, lift up your heads, look around, read your word. You'll understand that we're in the very last of the last days, I believe. That his purpose and his will was, verse 10, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So if you're saved, you've been gathered together by the Spirit of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ, which is both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Everybody say in him. I think that's one of the most important words and two words in the Bible, that we are when we're born again and purchased and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the Father, call on him to save us, and he points us to his Son. Then he places us by the power of the Holy Spirit into him, into Christ. And so we can read through the New Testament, and we find that Christ is in us, and we are in him, and we're one. Look up here. We're one in him by the power of God. Amen? And because of the love of God and the mercy of God and the goodness of God. All right. Verse 11, in whom, that is in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. So to those of you, every one of you that are Christians and been born again by the Spirit of God, you have an inheritance, and it's not on this earth. It's not $100 million or $500,000 or whatever. It's not anything here. We do begin to enjoy the pleasures of it here, but our inheritance is in heaven. That's our place. The Bible tells us, here we have no continuing city, but as God's children, we seek one to come. Amen? Are we laying up treasures here on earth and looking for everything to be going on here on this earth, or are we preparing and laying up treasures in heaven, as Jesus said? Don't lay up treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up before yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and neither thieves do not break through and steal. So when I get up there, I hope to see that I've sent some treasures on before me. Amen. Don't you? I don't want to get up there and I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? We all should. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. And that doesn't mean, as I've said, because I've run into a lot of people in my 60 years in the ministry. And a lot of people get hung up on the word predestinated, and they come to the conclusion, some have, and some denominations teach it, that when you're born on this earth, you were predestinated to be saved or to be lost, and you don't have anything at all to do with it. God predestinated you. And that's not what this means here. It doesn't mean he predestinated people to be born and they didn't have any choice in the matter of what they were doing, but we were predestinated in Christ, his son. We were predestinated in all and everyone that was going to be saved. We must be. There is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And that's his predestination. I guess I'm in verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him, you're going to see this in Ephesians a number of times. You also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, that is the gospel. When we heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and we believed it, then we put our trust in him. We called upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We put our trust in him, and the word trust here, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's where we were last time, talking about the Holy Spirit of promise. That's God's seal that he gives to us to help us to understand that we are his children. And his Spirit bears, as you've heard me say, his Spirit bears with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen? And I pray to God if everyone who puts your trust in him has that witness, because we need to have that. And that's he bears witness. And after we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I just want to say something to you, but I feel like saying this again. I do this every now and then so everybody understand. When we talk about believe and trust, see, the word believe in the Bible means to trust. That means absolutely to trust. That means to depend entirely upon him and what he did on the cross to save us. And the word trust means if you believe something's going to hold you up, you trust your entire weight to it. So if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you've put your whole being in trust on him. And when you do that, if you don't do that, then you hadn't trusted. And that's what that means. Trust. When you do that, then he puts his seal on you. Amen? And that seal, his seal, is the seal of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about a lot of this, so I'm just kind of reviewing here so we can be on track. And his seal also, notice the word in chapter 4, verse 14, who? Everybody say who. Who's he talking about here? The Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. Everybody say guarantee. Of our inheritance. And how long is he the guarantee of our inheritance? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So the redemption of the purchased possession, and I spend some time on this, I'm not going to go through it. You know, man is a spirit. He's created in the likeness and the image of God. He has a physical body, and his spirit dwells in his spiritual, in this physical body, and man become a living soul. So man is a triport being. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're spirit. We live in a body, and we become a living soul. We're conscious of our being. Amen. And we're redeemed. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, we're redeemed. Amen. That means purchased. Paul said after verse 15, therefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. The love of God, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. There's a lot of people I couldn't love if it wasn't for the love of God being spread abroad in my heart, let me tell you. And the Bible tells us that we're to even love our enemies. That takes the love of God, believe me. Paul said, when we've heard of your love for the saints and your faith, so if you're a Christian, people are going to hear that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to hear that you have faith. Amen. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. So here's what he's praying that we have. First of all, that you'd have the spirit of wisdom. How many of you need wisdom? Don't depend on your own self. We can depend on ourselves, but we depend on the Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us to pray about everything. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry about anything. How many of you have temptations? Don't raise your hand. You ever have temptations to be worried about something? Amen. So he gives us the spirit of wisdom that we're not to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and he will direct our paths. I think it's Proverbs 3. Spirit of wisdom. And also the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. So this is where we stopped last time. The revelation that we have in the knowledge of him. And I explain like the Bible does here in Ephesians. Later on, you can read through Ephesians. You'll find that several places in the Bible, if I remember correctly, that the body of Christ, the church, we believers, are his bride. So we are likened in the body, the church, to be in the body of Christ. So we are joined together. Amen. He wants us to understand that and to know that. He also wants us to know that, as I explained, I think it was last Sunday. How many of you married here? How many of you realize that when you first got married, you didn't know as much about each other as you thought you did? As you've grown together in your knowledge of your relationship with each other, now I'm repeating myself here, I understand, y'all just bear with me, okay? This is good stuff, we need to hear it again, we need to be reminded, put them in remembrance, doesn't the Bible say that? So, as we live together, and we share our lives together, we find out that wow, I'm glad I married this person. Hopefully, that's what we find out. Amen? I'm glad I have a relationship with this person. But we also find out, hopefully, it's not many things, but there are some few things that we don't exactly like about each other. Right? Now, if we be honest with ourselves. But we learn how to work those things out. So as we walk with the Lord Jesus when we're first saved and we're born again, we come into a relationship with him just like we're married. And from that time on, and I'm speaking from experience because I'm 85 and I've been walking with the Lord for over 60 some odd years, and I'm still learning about Him. And I'm still enjoying a relationship with Him, and that relationship has grown better. And my wisdom and my knowledge and my understanding of Him and my relationship with Him has grown more as I've gone along. Amen? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? So we grow. The Bible says, grow in the grace. Everybody say grow. Grow in the grace. Grow in the love. That's grace. And the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You can't grow in your faith and in your knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and leave the Word of God out of your life. You can't do it. I've heard people say, oh, boy, I wish I had more faith. Well, get into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, you want more faith? Get in the Word of God. If you want more wisdom, get in the Word of God. If you want more knowledge, get in the Word of God. If you want to know about Jesus, get in the God, get in the Word of God. And if you don't get anything else from what we're teaching on here this morning, get that. Because that'll be the most important thing you'll ever hear in your life. Get into this book. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, there's parts of it I don't understand either. But that doesn't mean that there are some things that I can understand. And it doesn't mean that as I grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's more things that I'll begin to understand. In fact, I'll begin to understand the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit. I'll be able to hear and understand His voice. Not an audible voice, but I'll be able to be in touch with my Spirit man, Christ in me, so that He can communicate to me through my mind and I can begin to understand what He's saying to me. And let me tell you something else, and you need to get this too, and I'm just talking, amen? It's not just about religious things. It's not just about church things. You with me? Some people just kind of put their religion or Christ and their relationship with God in a box. And it's when they pray or when they happen to come across the Bible or they go to church or something. He's not in a box. He's in you. And you don't have to necessarily get on your knees somewhere in a closet and pray. It doesn't hurt to do that. I encourage you to do that, but your body, the Bible says our body is the habitation of God through the Spirit. So I've learned, and all because I've always worked most of my life, pastored churches part-time, that I've learned that I could talk to Him about my job. I could talk to Him about my finances. I could even talk to Him about my wife, and she's not behaving herself now. He may not listen to me. He may say something like, well, you're not behaving yourself either. Son, there's a few things you and I need to talk about. Are you? So we have a relationship with God, and wisdom and knowledge and understanding of that relationship as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we get into the Word of God and learn to understand that our body is the habitation of God through the Spirit and that we can talk to Him. And He can speak to us if we'll listen. What was it? Who was it? Elijah? that ran from Jezebel and kings. God all went off in a mountain and hid in a cave. Are y'all with me? You ever read the Old Testament? And God came moving through the mountains and all the rocks broke and he wasn't in there. The wind blew, he wasn't in that. But then came what? A still, small voice. A still, small voice. Now, I'll have to admit, there's a couple of times when I feel like the God really did shout out me. But most of the time, it's always been a still, small voice. And let me say this, and as best I can, in terms that I hope we'll grasp and understand. What is it? Isaiah 26, something says, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, people say, "Well, I don't understand. How do you hear God's voice?" And I don't. Not too often, anyway. Well, do you ever get still? Boy, be still and know that I am God. That means if you've ever tried to do this, you know sometimes it's a pretty difficult thing, especially if you're going through some troubled times. To sit down and get your mind completely off of everything and just say, "Father, here I am. And I know you're here with me. Would you please just talk to me? Let me know about what's going on with this financial situation. I need your help here. I need a car. I need a..." Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Amen? I don't want to even go into the story of the car. I didn't have a car, and you know, I told you all about that story. I said, "I want a brand new Impala Super Sports. Don't have the money to pay for it, and if I'm going to get it, you're going to have to give it to me, but I sure need it because I'm in the ministry." And they even opened up a Look magazine, and they had a big picture of one. Within 3 months, I had it. Didn't cost me a thing. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. God doesn't say he's going to supply everything that we want. He said he's going to supply his needs according to his riches. Are you with me this morning? Can somebody say amen? Boy, praise God. Oh. Verse 17, "And that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened..." You need to ask God for that. "Please enlighten the eyes of my understanding." Why do you want God to do that? So that you may know. Everybody say no. What does he want you to know as a Christian? Look at this. "That you may know the hope of his calling." What is the hope of his calling? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. What is the hope of his calling? Quite simply, that you're saved, you will be saved, and that you have hope beyond this life, that you'll have an inheritance in eternity with him. That's your hope. Amen. That's the hope of his calling. We all believe. well, not all, but most everyone believes that they called upon God in order to be saved. They don't realize that God's been calling them most of their lives. They just hadn't heard His voice. They hadn't heard His call. We can't be saved unless He calls us. And don't let that bother you. Because everyone that's born into this world, He's going to give an opportunity to hear the gospel, and He's going to call. Amen? That's why He said, go preach the gospel to all the world. The good news is the gospel. So, what does He want you to know? The hope of His calling. What is the next thing that He wants you to know as a believer? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Woo! Wow. The riches of His glory and His inheritance in the saints. You're God's inheritance. He rejoices over you. He loves you. He wants to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You are a very, very special, I'm talking to you. You are, if you're a child of God, you are a very, very special person. Amen. You don't know how special you really are. You're His inheritance. And what else does He want you to know? Let's look at verse, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Let's look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Oh my goodness. I could spend a week on this, I think. Do you know that when you were saved, the power of God worked in you and changed your life? That you were born again by the Spirit of God, and that you become a whole new creation in Christ Jesus? Wow. And that it was by His power, and it was the same power that He used when He raised Christ from the dead. Because in all honesty, the Bible teaches that all of us who were born in Adam were born into this world, were born dead in trespasses and sins. It's not a matter that you've sinned and you've done a lot of bad things. It's a matter of birth. I said it's a matter of birth. It's also a matter of birth that you get out of that body of sin and get into the kingdom of God and then become one of God's children. That's a matter of birth. In Adam, we all die. In Christ, we're all made alive, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you with me this morning? Boy, I'm preaching the gospel to you. I'm trying to share something that'll change your life and get you excited and make you a better person than you've ever been. Your wife won't even know who you are. Or maybe your husband won't know who the wife is. I'm telling you, God changes. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we're supposed to, according to Ephesians, I think it's chapter 3. Because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, does that mean you live like it and walk like it and talk like it? Well, I hope you do, but you don't do it all the time, maybe. Why? Because Galatians 5 talks about the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that there's a spiritual warfare going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is, verse 3 and 4, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That may be in Ephesians. I'm 6. I'm just quoting. Ephesians 11, second, the weapons of our warfare, Ephesians also says that you're to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and we are to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, or from God, and God is the source of it, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Second Corinthians, 11:3, for we wrestle not against, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly. The battle that we're fighting in the spiritual realm is not a fleshly battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How did you get on this subject, Brother Lewis? We're talking about the power, His power, that works in us. We do it by His power that is working in us. We put off the old man. We put on the new man. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and power. I've said this over and over again. The battle's in the mind, folks, and if you have things coming into your mind, keep track of what's coming into your mind, because if you have thoughts coming into your mind, you need to understand, and there are thoughts that you don't want there, guess who put them there? The Bible says, resist the devil in James chapter 4, I think verse 7. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How do you resist the devil? If you have things coming into your mind that you don't want there and shouldn't be there, then that's how you resist the devil. How do you take? Jesus resisted with faith the enemy. He was tempted in all points. The Bible says in Hebrews, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. How do you think he overcame? He had the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, you can read where he was temptation and how did he resist the devil. The same way we have to resist the devil, through the Word. And Satan used the Word against him. Satan knows more about the Word of God than most people do, Christians do. Not because he does it, but because he wants to use it against us. What else does he want us to know? Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And where did he seat him? All right, you ready for this? Where did he seat him? And he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. How many of you are a member of the body of Christ? How many of you are a member of the church? This is what he's given you. Where are you right now if you're in Christ? You're seated at the right hand of God the Father. In your spirit, God is your Father. You're where Jesus is. But Jesus, see, God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God can be anywhere and everywhere. Amen? And so he's given to the church, the body of Christ, his body, because when you're, look up here. When a husband marries a wife, I don't care where they got married, in the courthouse or in the jail or at home or in the church or whatever. If somebody said under the law you had a marriage license and he said you're joined together, the Bible says you become one. And he likens us in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 5, if you go there and read 5 or 6. He likens us to the body of Christ. We become one with him. He's over there, but in the spirit we're there with him. We're down here, but in the spirit he's with us. This is the spiritual realm we're talking about here. Amen? So if the power of God that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us, that means God's power can work in us if we allow him to. If we ask him to, if we want him to. There's sometimes... Anyway, I'll shut up here in just a minute, all right? I've come to a place, and I've told this to a few people over the years that were counseling that were going through the problems, difficulties of life and experiences, saying, I come to the Lord every now and then, and sometimes it's more frequently than I'd like to admit. And I say, Lord, Father, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm coming to you because I'm in this situation. Or I have this problem, or I have this issue, or whatever it is. And to be quite honest with you, I've had some bosses that I work for through engineering companies and construction companies and people that I work for over the years. Some of them I didn't like too much. And sometimes I thought maybe, I might not be exact, but I thought I was smarter and knew more about something than they did. Anybody ever have that problem? Anyway, whatever your problem is, Father, I have this issue. You know exactly where I am. You know what's going on, and you know about this more about this issue than I do. And you know what's going on, and Father, I don't like being in this situation. I don't like going through this. The Bible says pray about everything. Are you with me? So I take it. I do. You should too. You have something if you don't like in your life, tell him. He may not do anything about it right away, but at least you're casting all your cares upon him. And when you cast all your cares upon him, leave them there. Don't go back and pick them up. And if the devil comes to you and says, well, you still have this problem, blah, 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 and say, get away from me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've already put that over in God's table. He knows what's going on. He knows how to take care of it. So I don't worry about it. But the enemy, that doesn't mean the enemy doesn't try to bring it back to my mind and bring it back. But so I have to resist the devil and he flees from me. I get... Get that out of my mind. I do not want that. And the power of God says, I don't have to have that because His power is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, I think it says, work. Last part of the verse says, work out your own salvation. I thought I was saved. What does it mean, work out your own salvation? Well, I don't need to preach a sermon on that. You need to understand. Work out your own salvation, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Your spirit's saved, your soul's saved, but your body's not saved yet. And that's where we're working out our salvation, in the here and now. And that's what He's talking about. That's why He says, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have to do that in His power and by His power. And He wants us to do that. And He gives us the power to do that. So when I find myself in a situation, no, I got to shut up. Lord, you know where I am. You know what I'm going through with this situation, circumstances. Father, here's what I want, if you would, please. Show me, pretty quick, show me why I'm going through this situation. What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me in this situation? I want to get out of it as quick as I possibly can. And He does. Amen? He does. Because we ask Him. I'm not going to be defeated, nor does He want you to be defeated or any of His children to be defeated because of a lack of we don't ask. Let's everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed in prayer here in just a moment. But if anybody in this dismissal prayer, if anybody, I'm going to leave this open. Anybody wants to talk to me after services anytime, just call me on my home or you can come see me up here before you leave. I'll be glad to talk to you. If you want to just talk to God about anything right now, pray to Him, present yourself to Him, or pray for somebody else, and Spirit of God is moving in this place here right now. If you want to come to the altar and pray, or for any reason, just come on down right now because we're fixing to close. Anybody anywhere, come on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody want to come, come on down. That's just between you and the Lord. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service in the wonderful, mighty, precious name of Jesus, we come before Your throne of grace. We'd ask You, Father, to help us to remember what You've spoken to us about here this morning in this message, and that we won't forget, and that we will be able to apply Your word and what we've heard and Your blessings in our lives. We just want to thank You for being such a wonderful Father. Thank You for listening to us. Thank You for putting up with us, Lord. We realize sometimes we just wonder how You can even put up with us. Thank You for Father saving a wretch like I used to be. Thank You for making me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank You for Your marvelous love and grace. Thank You when a young 18-year-old man came and knelt on before Your throne of grace and said, God, have mercy on me and save me. You did. Thank You for touching my life. Thank You for being my, giving me Your precious Son, the very best gift that You could possibly give. We give ourselves to You, Lord. for you to work in both the will and the do of your good pleasure. Help everyone here, Father. Every individual, you know each and every one of them, Lord, all of us. You know what's going on. We need your help, Father. We need your help maybe financially. We need your help with jobs. We need your help with whatever. You know whatever it is, doubt, worry, fear, frustration, whatever it is. We cast all of our cares on you. We agree together with them, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Those agreeing together with us, we just say, we agree with them, Father, that if we have not because we ask not, we're not going to be guilty of that. We're going to ask, and we are asking, and we're coming before you, knowing that all things are possible with you, and ask you to take care of us, take care of your children. Hear and answer our prayers, Lord. Take care of our situations, Father. You know where we are. You know the enemy's, what the enemy's trying to do, and his thoughts against us and with doubt and fear and worry and frustration and all the failures and trying to bring up our past and all those things that he tries us to use to make us feel unworthy and guilty. We thank you, Father, that there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. We don't accept any condemnation from anybody or any thoughts or from the spiritual realm. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. See you next Sunday, hopefully. Bring somebody with you. Amen.